Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim Daf Yom. My name is Yitzchak Shalom, and now we are beginning the study of the eighth and penultimate chapter of Masechet Nazir. The Mishnah begins on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're going to do a significant amount today to get ourselves to the next piece. Shnei Nazirim. Let's say we have two Nazirim. Shamar lahen achad, and third person said to them, Ra'iti achad mikem shnitma ve'in yodei ze mikem. I saw that one of you became tameh, obviously tumat mate, but I'm not sure which one of you it is. Megalchin umevi'in korban tuma ve'korban tahara. So at the end of 30 days, that's clearly the case, they both shave, they together bring a korban tuma and a korban tahara, ve'omer. And one of them says, "Im ani o tameh, if I'm the guy who was tameh, korban tuma shaliv korban tara shalcha, then the korban tuma is mine, the korban tara is yours. Ani o atahor korban tara shaliv korban tuma shalach, the opposite." So for in shloshim yom, then the two of them maintain nazirut after they've shaved, count another 30 days, umivin korban tahara, and then they have to bring a korban tahara one between them. V'yomer, one of them says, "Im ani o tameh, if I'm the guy who used to be who was tameh before." Korban tuma shli. Then 30 days ago, the korban tuma was mine. But korban tara shocha, v'zeh korban tarati. The korban tara brought 30 days ago was yours, and this is my korban tara. Aniu atahor. Then flip it. Korban tara shli. Korban tuma shalach. V'zeh korban taratcha. That's the first piece of Mishnah Aleph, which is a very large Mishnah, and the entire parak has two Mishnayot. Now, the first question is, who is the guy, and what's his connection, his physical proximity, to these two Nazirim? Tani shtei Nazirim, shamalam ha'ayti achad mikem shnitma ve'ini yodei ze mikem ve'amai. Why do we treat these fellows as a safek tuma, and we say that they have to go through this extra 30 days and the third korban? How do we know the principle that safek tuma in a private area is lahachmir, is tame? Misota, we learn it from sota, because the woman is alone with the man, and we judge her to be tmea until she drinks the water. Masota bo elvenivela, but in the case of sota, it's two people, her and the guy, not a third person. Of course, safek tuma b'shutei achid on the ika betray. So we're going to apply it further and say every safek tuma cannot have more than two people in seclusion where it happened. And here we have three: the witness and the other two guys, the two nazirim. Avalach hashen nazirim b'hai dekai gabei on hatlata. So the two nazirim and the guy standing there, who later testifies about them. That's three. We should then judge this as Rishut Arabim. We see this throughout Shas, that the definition of Rishut Yachid and Rishut Arabim for Shabbat and Eruvin, etc., is very different, and even for Nezikin, is very different than that for Tuma, where it's really about seclusion. Here, since there's three people, it doesn't fit the model of Sota, there should be Safek Tuma Rishut Arabim, and we should say Tahor, and we ignore the problem. So what's the case? The fellow was at a distance. He said, "I know I saw Tuma touching one of you, but I don't know which one." Ravashi Dekanami. Ravashi says that explanation really is necessary if we read the Mishnah carefully, because it says Diktani ve'eni yodei eizu mikem. The guy says, "I don't know which one of you it was." So it's not as if he was standing with the other two of them and one of them touched the tumah and he forgot. The idea is he's at a distance that he can't really discern which one of them touched the tumah. So the two of them are privately in some area and he sees through a window or from a distance tumah there and one of them touching it doesn't know which one it is. Shmamina. All right. Now, here's the problem that our entire scope of the Mishnah and the piece that we studied at the end of the previous parak also brings up when we had the four-year Nizirut possibility with Sofik Muchlat, Sofik Tameh. And that is that we are shaving. We have not been paying attention necessarily to the fact that shaving as a Nazir is otherwise a full prohibition of the Torah, to clear shave your head. And therefore to say, well, in case I'm a Nazir, I better do it, is not a neutral act. There's a violation involved. Why is it that these guys shave after 30 days, and then because of a safek, they both shave again in 30 days? Dilma lav tmeininun, maybe each one of them, certainly one of them wasn't tamei. V'ka'avir hakafa, and they're doing the violating the prohibition of hakafat harosh, of clear-cutting the head, for naught. Amar Shmuel, b'isha v'katan. So Shmuel says, good, our mishnah will work if it's an isha, where there is no mitzvah, no law of non-bal takif, or a katan, a minor. V'lukmei v'gadol, why doesn't Shmuel say, we're talking about an adult male, v'hakafat kol arosh, toshma kafa, and let him take sides on the dispute we've already seen, saying that mid'oraita, shaving the entire head is not the violation. Midoraita, it's cutting the corners, leaving some hair, what we call a mohawk. But shaving the entire head is only darbanan, and therefore, because of the suffix of another nazirut, we do it. Why doesn't he say that? From the fact that he doesn't say that, because over Shmuel, hakafat kol arosh shma kafa. Obviously, Shmuel holds the position that shaving the entire head is a violation daoraita, and therefore, if he must create a circumstance where it's isha v'katan, and thereby circumventing the problem. Now, Marzutraman in la hashmata de Shmuel aseifa. He learned Shmuel's comment as being about a later mishnah in our parak, or a later segment of our mishnah, which is one we already saw in the last parak, which is nazir shaya tamei b'safek v'mukhlat b'safek, a nazir who is both safek tumat mate and safek tamei tumat mate and safek mukhlat. He shaves 4 times after 30, 60, 90, and 120. At most, he needs 3, which is if he really was mukhlat, and then he needs, theoretically he could need all 4. If he was mukhlat, he would need 2, and then he would need 1 for tumah and then 1 for tahara. But chances are also that he never was tameh. Chances are also that he wasn't mukhlat at all, in which case he'd only need 1. Which means he may be doing 3 for naught, and therefore violating. Oh, good. So he comments in there. Amar Shmuel b'Shava Katan. Shmuel says that it will work if the nazir in question is not a nazir but a nazira, or a nazir katan. Good. Amar Ravuna. Now Hamakifata Katan. He says if you, an adult, clear cut the head of a minor, Hareu Chayav, you are Chayav. This is similar to what we had about cutting the hair of a nazir, any part of the head of a nazir. You are not a nazir, and you cut his hair, you're chayav. So a colleague said to Rav Huna, "V'didach man megalach lahon." So who shaved your kid? Evidently, for some medical reasons, needed his head shaved. Who shaved his head? If you hold that an adult Jew shaving the head of a kid is chayav, so he said, "I'm a lechova." Chova, what's Rav Huna's wife? So Rav Anna bar Ava responded with the following imprecation, Tikbarinun Chova Levaneha. Chova should bury her kids. Now, and the result of that was Kulushana to Ravana Barava, as long as Ravana Barava was alive, Lekayim Lezara Ravuna. Ravuna was not successful in having children that lived. Terrible curse because of what he said. Now, bottom line though is they have a dispute about whether or not an adult male may shave the head of a kid. Since they obviously both hold that shaving the entire head is a violation, as we posited in Shmuel, the Mikami Palgi, so why are they disagreeing where Ravana Barava says a woman, even an adult male may shave the head of a kid, and Ravuna says only a woman can? He says, Ravuna Savari quotes the Pasuk, Lo takiv rat roshchem, lo tashchid et pad zekanecha. You may not cut the corner of your head, and you may not shave your beard. So therefore the Pasuk only addresses people who have the issue of Bal Tashchit, Zakan, which is only men. Since women are not proscribed by the law of Lo Tashchit Bal Zakanecha, therefore they are not warned against this. They could cut their own head like that. Therefore they could also cut somebody else's head like that and there's no violation. He said Lo Takifu refers both to your own head or doing it to someone else's head. And here's the analogy. Kashmaki flinikaf, and therefore the cutter is compared to the kati. Kolhecha de nikaf mechayev, anytime that the kati is a bar on shin, he's an adult. Makif nam mechayev, so if I, as an adult male, clear cut the head of another adult male, then I'm in violation. Hi katan, but since the one whose hair I'm cutting is a minor, he himself is not culpable because he's not of age. Therefore the adult. So therefore Ravana Barava said, you Ravuna, you could cut your own kid's head and clear cut it, because after all, the kid cannot be, since he cannot be the subject who becomes liable, therefore his head cannot be the object of liability in head cutting. Okay, now Lema hakafat kol arosh tanaihi. Maybe this issue of hakafat kol arosh, whether or not it is hakafar or not, which evidently Shmuel took a position that it is, and evidently Rav Huna Rav Ada Bar Ava took a position that it is. Perhaps this issue is really a machloket Tanaim. The Tana Rabbanan, we have Brayta number one, and that's how we refer to it. Rosho, this is, we've had this earlier, this is the pasuk about a metzora, that he has to shave all of his hair, including his head. And of course, Rosho is extra, because it already says he has to shave all his hair, that includes his head and his beard. Why does it say head and beard separately? Matum lamar, the fish amar lo takifat roshchem, because the Torah says a person may not cut his head, cut his hair. Totally. Yacholaf Mitzora Kena, I might think that a Mitzora is also bound by that. Tamaloma Rosho, therefore the Torah says a Mitzora has to cut his hair out of his head. That's bright to number one. So in other words, the Rosho of Mitzora is coming there to say that even though every Jew is not allowed to cut his head, cut his hair on his head, a Mitzora does. That's bright to one. Bright to two, Vatan Yidach Rosho Matamalomar, Fishinamar Gabe Nazir Talor Yavaral Rosho. The second bright to, says, after all, the Torah says that a Nazir may not cut his hair. Echolaf Nazir Mitzora Kenem, I think this applies to a Nazir who's a Mitzora. Tavanoma Rosho, therefore it says that a Mitzora cuts his hair. Good. So now, our assumption is, my Lav Tanoi, isn't this the Machloka Tanaim, the Man, Damar Minazir, so I covered Kolorosh Loshman Kafa. The second bright that must hold that clear cutting your head is not a Hakafa. Therefore, there's no violation for a regular Jew to clear cut his head, and therefore the Torah doesn't have to go out of its way to say Mitzora does it. It's only because of the Nazir that the Torah has to say it. And the Torah is coming, therefore, to tell you that the Asay of Mitzora shaving trumps the lotase of a Nazir and the ase of a Nazir, which I put into italics on the page, of Kadoshia Gadel Pera. V'yidach Savra, and the first Brayta must hold, Hakafat Kol HaRosh, Shema Kafa, shaving your entire head is a violation. And the Torah is coming simply to say that the ase of Mitzora is Doche, the lav of Lotakifu. All right, we'll lay it out that way. Now, Amarava, Rava rejects this attempt to read into the two brightot a division between whether hakafat kol arosh shma kafa by saying, really, this is the first attempt, really everybody would agree that it's not a violation. We're shaving the entire head. Rava says the pasuk in about the Mitzora is talking about a case where you first cut the hair and then did the shaving. Because there may be a violation, because you cut just the corners, you didn't cut the entire thing. Since if you shaved everything at one shot, you wouldn't be chayv, because so therefore, if you first cut the corners and then shave the entire head, you're also not chayav. But that's not going to work, because since when would the Torah speak this way? Rabbi Shlokish, with famous dictum of Shlokish, anytime there's a conflict between an asay and a lav, if you can fulfill both, mutav. If you can fulfill both, that's the way to do it. If not, then the asay trumps the lav. By the way, the deeper statement of Rosh Lakish is, if you can do it in a way that fulfills both, and you don't, and you directly put them in conflict, then the asay is docha lav, you're chayav for the lav. You're not exempt. So it will not work to say that since shaving your entire head in this proposition is not a violation, therefore if you shave just the part that is a violation and then afterwards took a break and then shaved the entire thing, it's okay. That's not the case. Then you really did the violation of first doing a mohawk and then shaving off the top. Ella, so we have to revise Rava. Not to say that everybody in this agrees that Shema Akavat Kol HaRosh Lo Shema Akafa, but rather we have to take the position that Shmuel seems to be favoring, which is that shaving the entire head is a violation. So now how do we assess the two brightot? So the second brightot that says that Rosho is there to trump the asay and the lotasay of Nazir, lav greater manale. So how does he know that asay is docha lotasay stam? So Yalif Migdilim, he learns it from the famous piece, we've seen it before, about tzitzit. Damakra, lotubashatnez, and the next pasuk, you see it together on the page, is, you can't wear shatnez, but you do wear tzitzis. Vatani, lotubashatnez, hagdilim tasalachamehem. Why are they juxtaposed to tell you, you can't wear shatnez, but if you have tzitzit made out of shatnez, you can wear them. So ase of tzitzit is dochalot ase of shatnez. Good. Uman denafka lemi rosho. Now that's a little tricky because both of them use rosho. What that means is the author of the first braita, who says that the word rosho is there to teach you just asay of mitzvah is docha lot asay of regular clear cutting your head. My tamalo nafka lemigdilim. So why doesn't he learn it from tzitzit and shatnez? And therefore he would have rosho available to teach you even an azir. So Amar lacha lechad Rav Huda Ata. He said, no, the pasuk about gedilim and seru fishtim is not there to teach you that tzitzit is docha shatnez, but it's for a different limud about tzitzit itself, as per Rava. The Rava Rami Rava threw two psukim against each other, found a contradiction. Ktiv not nuat tzitzit hakanaf. You put on the corner of the tzitzit on the corner, meaning min kanaf p'til tachelet, meaning that whatever the garment is made of, that's what you put the string out of. Uchtiv tzemu fishtim yachtav, and in our pasuk it says dafka wool linen. Hakitzar, how do we reconcile those? Tzemu fishtim potrim be minan ben shalom minan. Wool or linen are the universal poter, which means you could put wool or linen strings on any garment, on cotton, on silk, on whatever it may be, they pater. Shar minim, other kinds of strings, minan potrin, min shalom minan ein potrin. You can't put silk screens on a wool garment. You could put silk strings on a silk garment. You could put linen strings on a linen garment. You could put cotton strings on a cotton garment, according to this. All right, so that's what Rava does with the use of tzemru fishtim from shatnez next to tzitzit. It's not about asay dochalot asay, it's an internal halacha about tzitzit. Okay? Now, v'haytan demapik l'rosho l'olav greda. So now the author of the first braita, da'ati asay v'dachiyad asalot asay v'asay v'nala. Now how does he know a source that says that asay is docha an asay and alav? After all, he only learns it that asay is docha alav alone. So nafkale mizkano, the answer is there's another word in the pasuk, rosho and zikano. Why is there zikano? D'tanya, zikano matamalomer. Why does the Torah say the Mitzvah shaves not only there on his head, but his beard, if it already said all his hair? Vishnemar fadzkanam loikalechu, because the Torah says that the Kohanim may not shave the corner of their beard. Yachol afkoin mitzora. Okay, now I think this even applies to a coin as a mitzora. Tamadomer is a kano. Therefore, the Torah says, mitzora shaves even his beard. And remember, the coin, there's an asay and a lot asay. The lot asay of cutting the corners of his face. And the asay of kadoshim yule lohem, which is why I include that on the page. And then it's in the next pasuk. They should be holy to God. So now the author of the second braita, who used rosho for nazir, Leilaf mizkano. Why does he not use zikano as we just got it? That teaches the principle that asay is docha lot asay and asay. That leaves rosho for the just the lav, and then leaves tzitzit so he can learn Rava's thing. Why does he need rosho to teach you asay docha lot asay, and therefore he cannot learn the asay docha lav from there, and he needs it from shatnez, right? Why aren't they in agreement? But based on that, we ask a bigger question. How come we do not apply this principle of asay docha asay velot asay elsewhere? We don't apply it. Why don't we learn from the fact that a kohen mitzora does shave, that it does, and why don't we make that a model and universal application? So the answer is on the coin, and you can't learn it from a coin. Why? Coin is something that only applies to a limited part of the population. It can't be a model. A person can't voluntarily become a coin. It doesn't apply across the population. It only applies to Kohanic men, a small part of the population. Now, zir mikoin nami lo yalif. So therefore, in the same way, just like the principle that in a coin, mitzora, he shaves, ase doch ase velot ase, you can't apply it to a general rule. You also can't apply it to nazir for the same reason. Because anybody can become a nazir. A man, a woman of any tribe can become a nazir. Not like a coin. So now the author of the second bright, Lamali Zakano, what does he need Zakano for? After all, he says, Rosho is there to teach me, Asay Docha Asay Velo Tasay of Nazir. So what does he need Zakano for? So Mibayale Lechadatanya needs it for the following. Zakano, Matam Lomar Lefishinamar Ufad Zakanam Loigalecha. We already have this a few prakim earlier, because it says that the Kohanim cannot shave their head, their face. Yachol af Kohen Mitzora Kein, Tamalomer Zakano. But we continue. Umanalan batar. How do I know that a metzora must be shaved with a razor? What do we know about that pasuk? I might think that even if you cut your beard with a scissors, you'd be chayiv. What's the second half of the pasuk about Yisrael? You shall not destroy your beard. I might think if it's destroying, then any sort of tool that takes out the roots, we'd be chayiv for. Therefore, it says shave. It says shaving and destruction. What kind of shaving is there that really gets to the roots? Merzitar, that's a razor. And that's how I know. So I need Zakano, to connect me with the Kohen to tell me just like the prohibition there is specifically with a razor, similarly the Metzora must shave with a razor. And this goes to the sugya that we learned earlier about how do we know that a Metzora and the Levim and a Nazir all have their shaving must be done with a razor. If they don't, they're not Yotze. Now the author of the first Braita, Lamel Michtav Rosho, Lamel Michtav Zakano. So why do I need both Rosho and Zakano? After all, I'm going to use one of them for Asei Doch Asei Velot Asei. Mashmal Michilav Greater, Mashmal Michilot Asei Vasei. After all, I'm using one for a lav and one for an Asei and a lav. Hilkach Shokol Uviyavo Shnehan. Why don't I just say, I'll use one of the words and I'll include both because either one could teach us either one. It's not as if Rosho recommends one more than Zakano does. Alright? The answer is that you need them both. Why? Because Kohen Minazir lo yali if Shkenyeshtom b'sheila. If all I had was Rosho, which according to the second Braita is about Nazir, I would not know that a Kohen shaves, because a Nazir is a little more lenient, because a Nazir could retract his Nazirut. Nazir mikohen lo yaliv shekin lav sheino shavav akol, and I can't learn Nazir from Kohen because Kohen is a limited population. In other words, Kohen and Nazir each have a kula, which means if I learn that a Kohen Metzora shaves, that doesn't tell me that a Nazir Metzora shaves, and vice versa. And once I have Nazir and Kohen, I still can't apply it as a universal principle that Asei is doch Asei velot Asei, as per the challenge that I raised earlier. Okay, I'm a Rav. Rav said the following. Mekel adam kol gufo batar. A person is allowed to shave his body hair. A man is allowed to shave his body hair with a razor. So meitave, we have a challenge. Hamavir beit hashech veit harvav. If somebody shaves his armpits or his genital area, harezo lo kep. He's culpable. So habatar habmisparim. So our answer is, yeah, that's if you do use a razor. But if you use scissors, that's what Rav meant. Rav nam batar kamar. Rav himself used the word ta'ar, razor. So the answer is ke'en tar. What Rav meant was not actually a razor, but something that has the effect of a razor, like one of those rehitni, one of those tools that really gets to the root, but not directly a razor. Razor would be a violation. Okay, now parallel. Amar b'chiyabar abba amar rabbi yochanan. Hamavir beit hashech beit harva. If you get rid of that, armpit hair or the pubic hair, loke. Meiteve, we have a challenge. Havarat seyar einami divrei Torah, elami divrei sofrim. We say that getting rid of body hair is not a violation of the Torah, it's a violation of the Rabbanan. We'll see what that is. So, Milo Kenamini Kamar, so what did Rabbi Yochanan mean when he said you get Makot? Yeah, me Rabbanan, Makot Mardut, for violating the words of the Rabbanan. Now, Ikadami, there's another version of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rav Chiya bar Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mavir Beit Hashecha Beit Harva Lo Kemishum Lo Yilbash Gever Simlat Isha. He said it's not a violation related to the particular physicality of removing hair, but more to the environment of it, which is doing a feminine type thing to your body. That's the way he reads it. So you are Lo Kemid De Oraita for treating your body the way that a woman treats her body as opposed to a man. Meitive, so we have a challenge to that. Havarat seyar, anima divrei Torah, divrei sofrim. Getting rid of body hair is not a violation of the Torah, it's a rabbinic violation. The answer is, Hudamar ki atana, Rabbi Yochanan was relying on a different Tana. The Tanya, Mavir beit hashech beit harva, reza over, mishum lo yibash geres, not tisha. Exactly a quote, just like Rabbi Yochanan. There's a Tana who says that if you shave your body hair, it's a violation of gesim la tisha. Vetanakama, so now the Tanakama, who said it's only Drabanan, Hailo Yibashkever my Darshbe, what does he do with that verse that says a man may not wear woman's clothing? He needs it as follows. Lo Yaglichi Gever Ali Shah, look at the entire Pasuk. A man's garment shall not be on a woman. My Tamalor, what's that for? Im Shlo Yibash Ish Simlatisha, Visha Simlatish, if it's just for cross dressing, for Namatoi Vahi. The Torah already defined it, that this is an issue of abomination. V'enkan toiva, just stop putting on clothes of another gender, is not inherently an abomination. Ella, so what is it? Shelo yibash ish simlat isha v'yeshev ben hanashim. That a man should not put on women's clothing, and then in order to be able to hang out with the women and be among them and get familiar with them and then end up doing some adulterous act. And vice versa. So according to this Tana, the prohibition in the Torah is not the act of cross-dressing, but rather of the cross-dressing for a purpose of znut. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer has a different take. How do we know that a woman is not allowed to wear armaments and go out to war? That's why it says a man's vessel should not be on a woman. What's that? A man shouldn't put on makeup, like his eyebrows, whatever it may be, that are sort of feminine things to do. Which then accords with what we saw earlier about getting rid of body hair. Rav Nachman ben Nazir mutar. Rav Nachman has a comment on that. He says, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov would agree that if you're a Nazir, it's mutar, because a Nazir is somebody who otherwise is not taking care of his body at all. So it's not as if he's trying to kind of adopt that style. We reject that, and we say, at least according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, even a Nazir would not be allowed to do that. Now, Amar le Rabbanan Rav Shimon bar Abba. So they said as follows, Hazina le Rav Yochanan delately. We saw that Rav Yochanan doesn't have any underarm hair or whatever it may be. Amar Lahan, Machmad Zikna Nashru. Yeah, he's an old man, and some of his hair fell out. He didn't shave it. And in the parallel story is Ahudi Itchayev Negida Kamed Rabbi Yami. There was a person who was for what seemed to be a violation of protocol of Beit Din, was going to get flogged in the Beit Din of Rabbi Yami. Igloi Beit Hashachi, when he sat, kneeled down to get strike, his arm went up, and he saw underneath Chazi de Lomigalach, he saw that he had hair there. Lohan Rabbi Yami said, Shivkua Damin Chavrayahu, leave him alone, he must be one of the colleagues, there must have been some misunderstanding, etc. Now, what that means, though, is that it was evidently a fairly normal thing among the non-rabbinic class to shave that area, and so this fellow, by not shaving, demonstrated that he was one of the men. I'm a little Rabbi Yami. All right. Bamine Rav and Rabbi Chia. So Rav asked his uncle Rabbi Chia, Mahu legaleach, are you allowed to shave on the body? Amar le asur. Amar le v'haka gadel, but some of the hair gets too long and it interferes. Amar le bar pachti, that was his nickname for his nephew. Zman yesh though, it takes time, cause man shu gadel no share, when it gets too long, it falls out by itself. Don't to worry. Bamine Rav and Rabbi Chia. So Rav then asked his uncle the following question, Mahu lachuch, can you scratch that area in order to get the hair out? Amar le asur. That you're not allowed to do. Bevigdoma, what if you do it through the garment, not directly on the skin? Amar le mutar. He said, that's okay. So ikadami, there's another version, that bamine bitfila bevigdomahu. What if you are davening? Are you allowed to scratch through your garment onto your flesh? And this is not an issue of tearing out the hair. It's an issue of, while you're davening, touching an area that's not clean. Amar le asur. He said, "Yotz asur, v'lei tocha takavatei." But we don't rule like that, because since he's touching the garment, there's really no problem. Okay, we will pick up Yotz Hashem in the next podcast from the next section of Mishnah Aleph, at the top of Daf Nun Tet Amud Bet, and continue in our study of the eighth parak of Masechet Nazir. Everybody should have a wonderful day.